Yeah. How's it going at the back? Strong. What a good back section. Best seats in the house, the back, aren't they? At a comedy show? Safe. You're so safe, you got your feet up. No one's talking to us. I'll come out. How's it going at the back? What? But let all the life choices of the front row, please. Not going to belittle any of your life choices. Don't even worry about it. Not because I'm nice, by the way. Because I've been in this game long enough now to know that the front row are no longer the easy targets they once were. And now a bunch of prepped attention seekers. Praying that I'm picking them so they can destroy me in front of all my new friends. Forget about it. It's not going to happen. You got a hoodie on, mate. I know a trap when I see one. Wearing his hoodie, hoping to lure me in with the bait. I ask him why he's got his hoodie on. He hits me with some hoodie-based one-liners. He workshop with his stupid friends in your sweet dreams. You should be ashamed of yourself. The gig's not about you. Check your ego at the door. It's about me, start to finish, the whole show. And what a life. Recently moved next door to a Mexican restaurant. That's the headlines. I don't mind it. I like it. Here's all you need to know about the restaurant. Everyone steals their spoons. You've got beautiful spoons. Everyone nicks them so much so that every January, they've got to have a spoon amnesty on. If you've stolen a spoon from there, if you bring it back in January, they reward you with free tacos. Genius. Not only do they get their spoons back, they also get to watch while the thieves eat tacos, which I imagine have been interfered with beyond belief. What you got a hoodie on for? It's cold outside. It's... He is fine on all cylinders. I knew he would be. I walked into that. I deserved every bit of what I got. 1-0 to you. Hope you're happy. I don't steal the spoons, by the way, just so you know. I'm not a rule breaker. I like to find loopholes. That's different, isn't it? That's fun. More satisfying finding the loophole. Everyone's favourite loophole? Infinite wishes? Yeah, you like infinite wishes, don't you? You find a lamp, you rub it, a genie comes out, grants you 3 wishes. What's your first wish? Infinite wishes. Clever. That is a clever loophole for a situation. Let's face it, none of us are ever going to end up in heaven. We show those genies, am I right? Stupid genies. Some people don't like infinite wishes. You say infinite wishes to them, they're like, no! No way! Not allowed! You can't say infinite wishes. Against the rules. I'm always like, you know what, man? Fair enough. Fair play. There wasn't the information you were after. I'm wasting your time. Apologise. I won't say infinite wishes again. You better not say infinite wishes again. I won't. Good. What's your first wish? Infinite genies. Infinite genie is the best wish. Not only do I get infinite wishes, also takes care of my second wish, more friends. Ah, oh, I'd love to hang out with genies all the time. Did you see Aladdin? He stole the show. I love finding loopholes. I find them all the time. Like in stupid London, where I stupid live, on the underground, the escalators enforce the rule, stand on the right and walk on the left. I loophole that every day. What they've overlooked is the fact that left and right are relative concepts depending on what way you're facing. Stand on my right and try and guess where the escalators end. Thank you very much. Sometimes you get a couple standing on the right of the escalator. They're facing each other, just smooching all the way down. I like to intervene and be like, excuse me, but strictly speaking, one of you should be on the move. I love those escalators. All the way down on the walls, there's posters for all the different West End shows that are on. It's exciting. When I was a little boy, my dad told me the people who put up those posters have one of the hardest jobs in the world. To this day, I admire their agility. One of my favourite loopholes of all time, actually, was discovered by Torv Lindeen, of all people. The 1984 Olympics, cast your minds back, performing their world-famous bolero routine for the very first time. Now, the song they're going to skate to lasted 4 minutes 28 seconds. But Olympic rules stated the performance was only allowed to last 4 minutes 10 seconds. There's another rule. It said the stopwatch only officially started when their ice skates touched the ice. They found a loophole. For the first 18 seconds of that song, they performed it kneeling down. And when you love loopholes as much as I do, you discover that a couple of, and I'm not going to mince my words, dweeby little squares like Torval and Dean have found such a good, when you get real jealous real quick, I thought I'm not going to sulk about it, not only am I going to find a loophole, I'm going to find the exact same loophole, and it feels great. Here I am, I'm kneeling down, we haven't officially started yet, none of this counts. None of this counts, man. If someone walks in now, if anything, they're early. If anyone heckles, it is personal. Earlier, when he said that thing about being cold, if I was standing up, that could have derailed the whole show. As it is, I'm kneeling down. I can wait until I'm standing up to give him both barrels, and I will give you both barrels. I hope you like getting both barrels, mate. The show properly starts with a routine about childhood, but, full disclosure, that is a long ways down the way. In the meantime, I'm going to tell you a story. You need to know two things about me going into this story. I bear a lot of grudges, and I love French cuisine. I love French cuisine. That's why this story takes place in Pret-a-Manger. Oh, have you been there? Mamma mia. Oh. Oh. I love manger in there. There's so much good stuff to manger. I love to manger in Pret-a-Manger. I think my favourite thing to manger there is the yogurts. I love to manger the yogurts. It's like, you're in a pot and it's like a granola on top, then mainly yogurt, then fruit compote at the bottom. You know, the way they eat it in Paris. And you get a spoon and you mix it all together, then you manger it that way. If you like, I don't actually mix it. I just leave it as it is and I work my way down in order. Like, I start off with nothing but granola, just shoving raw granola into my mouth, deflecting off my teeth this way and that. And then I power through the yogurt for a really long time, getting precious little out of it, if I'm honest. It's a real trudge. I really don't like the yogurt part. And then I end on the tangy compote, like, whoa, what a finale. Oh, my God, all the flavour at once. Ah, that's how I eat yogurt, son. I eat them like they're packaged. It's why I like them fruit corners. They come with that little chaser. Went in Pret-a-Manger one day. All I wanted was a banana. That's all I wanted to manger. I went in there. Doesn't it ever get less funny, that? Every time I say it, it's still funny. Got a banana, put it on the counter. I said, just that, s'il vous plaît. Make the effort in Pret-a-Manger, actually. I'll make the effort, you should. Just that, s'il vous plaît. The lady behind the counter, she goes, oh, we're giving away 3 bananas today. Thanks very much. Picked up the banana, I turned to leave. She goes, hold on a second. Where are you going? I said we're giving away 3 bananas. I didn't say all of the bananas are free. How unnecessary. I don't know what I've done to offend this woman in the past, but she's laid a language loophole for me and I've fallen for it. Hook, line and sinker. I wasn't going to rise to it, though. Stay very calm. I said, oh, I'm sorry. Which of the bananas are free? As soon as I ask that, I think it highlighted how insane it would have been if that had been my initial response. If someone says to you, we're giving away 3 bananas today, and without question, you go, which specific ones? Looking at this box of bananas, I want to know which individual ones the offer applies to. It can't be all of them. I'm not living in a fantasy land. This isn't my dreams. Which bananas are free? Her eyes lit up. She couldn't wait to tell me which bananas are free. She goes, these ones. And she pointed at this pile of jet black bananas, just black as the night sky, just wobbling as well. There was no solids in those skins, just a pile on the counter. And I didn't want to manger no dead banana. Look, I know you can't tell what a banana's like on the outside based on the inside. I know that. I'm an adult. But some bananas, ugly on the outside, beautiful on the inside. Other bananas, beautiful on the outside, ugly on the inside. It's evolution's way of making sure shallow people don't get enough potassium in their bodies. And rightfully so, deserve everything they get, shallow people. If there's any shallow people in tonight, get out! None of them are welcome. Be that as it may, I turned down the offer and I paid full price for my yellow banana. As I'm handing her the money, she does this face at me. Clearly what she wanted to do was look at someone and roll her eyes at the guy paying full price for the banana, but no one else was around. So she kind of looked at me and went, oh no, that's the guy. I'm almost at the door, nearly home free, hand on the handle, and I hear her mutter to herself, and this still boils my blood to this day, actually. Under her breath, she goes, he thinks he's too good for a free banana. Never before have I been so offended by something I 100% agree with. Yeah, I am too good for a free banana, actually. We all are, aren't we? If you're sitting there thinking, oh, I'm not, believe in yourself a little bit. It is a banana, it is a banana. You know, when you're standing there holding a banana and someone's come up to you and gone, ooh, you're punching above your weight, aren't you? It's never happened. It's lucky to have you, if anything, that banana. I couldn't get it out of my head. Days, weeks, months went by. I was like, still furious about it. Went past Pret and Manger 9 months later, I looked in the window. The bananas were gone at this point. Frankly, I was surprised. I half expected them to have been decanted into a paddling pool with a sign stuck in them that said free smoothies. So people could drag their cups through the mush and leave. Oh, Pret and Manger, your generosity continues to astound us. The bananas were gone, but my nemesis was not. She's standing behind the counter, handing someone a Danish like a prick. Like a prick. Still angry, I know I had to get revenge. And I know exactly how I'm gonna do it now as well. Got it all planned out. Step one, I'm gonna open my own banana shop. In her neck of the woods. And that's all we sell is bananas. And sooner or later, she's gonna go in. Cause let's face it, if a shop opens up in your neck of the woods that only sells bananas and nothing else, you're gonna go in at some point just to see. Does it really just sell bananas? Once you're in the shop that only sells bananas, you've got to buy a banana. Because only a maniac would go in the shop that only sells bananas and go, I'm sorry, you haven't got what I'm looking for, and then leave. I've got her where I want her now. Come in, pick up a banana, put it on the counter. She'll go, just that, please. And I'll go, oh. Oh, hey, we're giving away free bananas today. She'll go, oh, which ones are free? Because let's face it, I'm not going to trip her up at this hurdle, am I? She invented this trick. Which ones are free? And I'll say, all of them. All of the bananas are free. And against a better instinct, she'll pick up the banana, say thanks very much. She'll turn to leave, and just as I'm out of her peripheral, as soon as I get out of her peripheral, I'll go, hold on a second, where are you going? I said all the bananas are free. I didn't say all of the bananas are free to everybody. She'll be all angry. She'll go, who are they free to then? And then here's the kicker. I'll go, me. And then I eat all the bananas. Just doing laps of the banana shop, just hoofing them into my mouth, making disturbing noises as well. I haven't worked on them yet, but I'm going to work on it and get disturbing noises going. And then she'll be all flustered. She'll be like, who are you? Why are you doing this? And I'll take off my disguise. I was wearing a disguise all along. It's me, boom. Who's too good for a free banana now? Who's too good for a free banana now? I'm too good for a free banana. I am too good for a free banana. Always have been, always will. Always will, too good for a free banana. Yes, cold like a wanker. Boom, dealt with. Dealt with both barrels. Both barrels, I did it. So childhood's a funny thing. Stressful as a child, I think. It's a lot on you. People ask you what you want to be when you grow up all the time. And coming up to you, adults, what do you want to be when you grow up? I don't know, secure enough in myself, I'm not putting this kind of pressure on six-year-olds? How's that sound? That's how you get your kicks, mate. See you later, sicko. Go back to hanging out with my dad. I never wanted to talk to you in the first place. I knew exactly what I wanted to be when I was a kid, when I grew up. I wanted to be an undercover cop. I didn't tell no one. Kept it secret. So didn't want to grow up, become an undercover cop. First day on the job, already blowing my cover. Running my mouth off all around town as a child. So I was smart. Whenever an adult asked me, what do you want to be when you grow up? I thought long term, I said, drug dealer. Every time. They can grow up, become an undercover cop, infiltrate a gang of drug dealers. If any of them get suspicious, like, hey, you think James might be an undercover cop? The others will be like, no way! This is his lifelong dream! Don't you ever say that again! It paid off, man. I'm now an adult, I'm a fully fledged undercover cop. When we're doing stand-up, I'll tell you. 10 years ago, I had to infiltrate a gang dealing drugs to comedians backstage at comedy gigs. Naturally, I assumed the identity of a stand-up comedian to get close to the gang. 10 years down the line, still haven't closed the case, but the gigs keep rolling in. Good to be here. Needless to say, the boys at Scotland Yard don't much appreciate me telling you all this shit. I get in trouble all the time. The captain called me into his office the other day. Springleaf! That's my real name. Pat Springleaf. Springleaf, get in here! What's this I hear about you talking about the case on stage, you total idiot! Cat, it's not my fault. You keep booking me all these gigs, filling my diary all the time. I'm having to write new material. Of course I'm talking about my real life now. I'm running out of ideas. If you don't like it, stop booking me so many gigs. He's like, you're forgetting I'm currently undercover as a comedy booker right now. Have to book these gigs or it looks suspicious. He's the worst booker ever, man. Got me this shit. Got me that gig in Crawley with a man throwing Maltesers at me and call me a bitch. Got me that gig in a members only club. The worst gig he ever got me was in a members only club. 20 of the most entitled people I've ever met in my life treat me like their own personal court jester for the whole show, just heckling me and knocking back calamari shavings. It's awful. I wasn't even getting paid money. My payment, membership to the club. At one point, I started bantering with them, asking them what they did for a living. Turns out, they were all stand-up comedians who'd done the gig in the past. I got over it 2 weeks later, had a mouthful of olives, heckling Josh Widdicombe like a champion. No regrets. I love being an undercover cop, I love it. Purest form of copping there is, just pure copping. Pure copping, don't even wear a uniform. Every day's Mufti Day, imagine that. Just me and my Mufti. And a gun, I got a gun on my ankle. But that's it, just pure copping. It's me, my Mufti and my gun. And a wire. I wear a wire at all times recording what's going on around me. But that is it. Just pure copping. It's me, my Mufti, my gun and my wire. And a magnifying glass for looking at clues. Let you know a secret. I originally did that bit with the gun. Didn't go as well. Went bad. I'm currently infiltrating this gang of drug dealers. I'm in the gang and I'm blending in like a roast parsnip and a bowl of roast potatoes. So, so smooth. No problemo. Oh, I should explain, actually. No problemo, that is a gangster term. It means I can perform the task assigned to me without any difficulty. You gotta talk gangster when you hang out with gangsters. Once, I nearly gave myself away by saying flabbergasted. Luckily, I managed to convince him it was a homophobic slur. They misuse it a lot. I actually quite get on with the gang. I like them. I've had our arguments sometimes with Lawrence, you know. Lawrence is the leader of the gang, though, to be fair, and that's not fun. Leadership looks fun, but it's stressful. It's like if you ever see anyone leading a conga. Oh, on the outside, they're loving it, sure. The whole times. Put your drink down. Yes, you bloody are, mate. Come on. in their heads, just, oh, no way, I'm going. Oh, I didn't plan a route. I never asked for any of this. God, I miss my family. Everyone's trapped in the conga. Well, what, you think you can leave? You can't leave. Person at the back, maybe. They can let go, make them run for it. Everyone else, you let go. You're not out the conga. Now, you're the leader of a rival conga. Now you've got turf wars to worry about. Worst case scenario, you're second from the back, you let go. The one person behind you loves congas, isn't giving up for anyone. Now you're trying to mingle at the party with a maniac on your hips. A lone madman, you want to have a discussion about Brexit, they're still going hell for leather. You'd have to go swimming just to get rid of them. The argument we had recently, me and Lawrence, was about oven gloves. Ridiculous. You know when you buy oven gloves, you've got two options? Like, I like to buy the two individual separate oven gloves, personally. You know, one for each hand, they're independent of each other, and you're free. As you always imagined you would be as an adult in your own kitchen, to move as you please. He gets these oven gloves where you've still got an oven glove for each hand, but they're joined together by that filthy hammock. Most bacteria-ridden bit of fabric in your entire house. It's a quilted germ blanket. What? Oh, what are you handling with that? Please let it be food. Please say it's food. You're picking it up with a germ cloth. I can't wait to manger whatever it is you're cooking. That's your full range of movement with them. What if someone attacks you? You can't defend yourself. It could happen just because you're getting something out of the oven doesn't mean the whole world stands still. What are you going to do, garrote them, hoping a week's time they get a fungal infection? They do not need to be joined together. No one's fed in those oven gloves with the sleeves of their jacket like a pair of winter mittens, to my knowledge. Lawrence goes, they need to be joined together, James, so they don't get separated. Thank you very much. They're oven gloves. They are oven gloves. Correct me if I'm wrong. They are not leaving the kitchen. Neither one of them is leaving the kitchen, are they? There's another glove in the kitchen. Where's the other one? Probably in the kitchen. Probably somewhere in the kitchen. No one's leaving one oven glove by the stove, then hitting the town, solo gloving it. Like a culinary Michael Jackson going up to people. You don't take that risk. I said to him, man, do yourself a favour. Take that onesie oven glove back to the shop. Buy yourself some proper oven gloves. This is what he says. He goes, bah. Oven gloves, schmoven gloves. That's how he argues. And he won, by the way. Oven gloves, schmoven gloves. He's won every argument we've ever had with that technique. Oven gloves, schmoven gloves, bowling, schmolin, cinema, schminima. The only argument he didn't win with that was one time when we argued about schmoozing. If it already begins with a schmer, he ain't got nothing. Believe you me, when you're leaving the house, you have to do a bit of schmoozing, and he's shouting schmoozing, schmoozing after you. It's more encouraging than dismissive. Put a spring in my step. Actually, really good at schmoozing. I thought I'd use this opportunity in the show to give you guys some schmoozing tips. You look like some happening cats. Maybe you're going to schmooze someone at an office do, you know? Now, a lot of people tell you, when you're schmoozing, have a good icebreaker. At the top of the conversation, break the ice. Right? What they won't tell you, at the end of the conversation, unbreak the ice. Right? Do you know anyone else swooping in, taking advantage of all the lovely little ice cubes that you created? So freeze it over again before you leave. Just as you're leaving, just slide something under the fence like death comes to us all. Something like that. Set the tone for the rest of the evening. Good luck anyone else penetrating that fortress. Not a lot. When they're talking, you do a lot of nodding and let them know that you're listening. Every now and again, just throw in something like, wow, I don't normally nod this much. Make them feel special, you know? I'd love to bill you for my next neck massage, Jerry. You got me nodding like a damn fool over here. Anyway, I'll see you in the office. There's only 3,000 tigers left in the wild. On the verge of extinction, Jerry. I love schmoozing, man. Gets me out of the house, meet new people, maybe meet a lady. Why not? I am single. My goddamn wife left me, so I was getting too obsessed with the case. I miss her. So what? I'm not made of stone. I'm not gonna act tough in front of you guys. Of course I miss her. You don't realise how much you need something until it's gone, do you? Like your fingernails. No, you don't realise how much you need your fingernails until you cut your fingernails. Then that's the day you've got to go and put four new keys on a key ring. It's agony. It's not worth it. Have them loose in your pocket and guess. Live your life. She left me on National Fondue Day. Of all days. I only knew it was National Fondue Day because I went to Google one bedroom flats and the Google logo, it was all made up of fondue related imagery. It was like the capital G, it was like a wheel of cheese, had a bit cut out of it. It was a dead ringer for a G. The two O's were like aerial shots of pots of fondue. They were bubbling away, animated. That was nice, nice touch. The lowercase G was a guy, he was just sitting there. He was just eating fondue, but not even the shape of a G. Look, actually, let's address this. Sometimes Google don't even try with some of the letters. Thank you very much. Speaking for the people at this gig. He wasn't there in a G-shirt like that. He's just sitting there like, I think you're fully aware what I represent, mate. I'm next to both the O's. You figure it out, genius. You came on Google.com. What do you think it says? And we accept it. We just accept it. Every time they can put anything above that search bar, you can say Yahoo, and we'd all go, that says Google. Nicely done. Not very subversive today, Google. I'm living on my own now. Miss her. Started drinking on my own. Who cares? Not quite like it, actually. Every night, I lock the door to my flat. Get myself a glass of punch. Is that weird? I drink punch on my own. Is that strange? I drink it from a big punch bowl with a ladle in it in the corner of my bedroom. Is that... I don't know what other people do. People always worried about punch getting spiked. Solo punch, problem solved. I'm not going to spike myself unless it's Fun Time Thursdays. I don't get hammered on my own, by the way. I don't get trashed. I just get tipsy. Tipsy is the best thing you can be in life, is tipsy. There's four things you should be in life. Sober, tipsy, drunk, hungover. Tipsy's the only one out of the four where you don't cry during it. Should have warned you earlier, some of the jokes are sad. Got to choose your soft drink when you're getting tipsy. Make sure every other drink is a soft drink. Sustain it, maintain it. I'm a Dr. Pepper man. Love Dr. Pepper. I don't claim to understand it. I'm not that arrogant. Of course not. What an enigma that drink is. I drink it every night. I could not tell you what flavour it is. No idea. Having my mouth full of Dr. Pepper with all my other senses shut off, I'll be like, it tastes like a sexy battery. Are you happy? It tastes like a sexy battery. The can says mixed fruit flavour. I weren't born yesterday. I know what fruit tastes like. I've had fruit before. I never sent the fruit salad back because it was too Dr. Peppery. That's a lie I have. It's really funny. I send most food back because it's too Dr. Peppery just to see how they bring it back and what they change. You'll learn a lot about a chef. When she kicked me out, I decided that I'd throw myself into my work. That's pretty common after a breakup, right? I thought I'd do a comedy podcast about something that I'm passionate about. Not a lot of people know this, but I love mathematics. Love mathematics. Favourite number? Umpteen. It's a curious number, but it sounds big, but it's in the teens. Someone's cooking the books. Favourite mathematician? Pythagoras. Oh, yeah, of course. Great mathematician, great catchphrase as well. We all loved his catchphrase, didn't we, Pythagoras? You remember his catchphrase? Yeah, I remember his catchphrase, don't you, Pythagoras? He'd say it quite a lot. Pretty popular. What would he say? He'd go, hey! Hey! Oh, every triangle's a love triangle when you love triangles. Do you remember that? That was great. I loved it so much. Every triangle's a love triangle when you love triangles. A good catchphrase. Not my favourite theorem, though, controversially. Hippasus. A lot of people have heard of him. A mathematician dealt mainly with squares. He discovered if you get any square, you draw four carefully calculated lines within that square, you end up with this. Which, as you're all clearly aware, is the most satisfying way you can close a cardboard box. Feels so good. No tape. No string. All box. Admit it, the first time you saw a cardboard box get closed like that, your brain couldn't make sense of it. So, how is every flap the top flap? I love closing boxes like that. Hands down, best part of my divorce. I'm there closing all the boxes. The parcel tape's looking down at me from the shelf. I'm like, screw you, you stupid parcel tape! I don't need you anymore! I'm closing the boxes, using the boxes themselves! You can suck it! You suck it forever, you goddamn parcel tape! To be honest, I was taking the divorce a lot harder than I thought I was. I took a lot of it out on the parcel tape. Obviously, you don't land on a theorem like that first time. A lot of trial and error getting there. We've all been here, haven't we? Horrible. That is a horrible feeling. I shouldn't have brought that up during a comedy show, actually. That is bumming you out. I can feel it. I can feel it ruining the buzz, you know? You got excited early doors, you rushed, you didn't plan ahead, and now look where you are. And when that happens with a box, you're there, and you're looking at it, and going, I know what I should do. I'll just open all the flaps up and start from square one. I'm a sensible person. However, having a look at it from this angle, I can see that really, it's only this bit that is wrong. These three bits are exactly how I wanted them. So what I will do, and this will be clever actually, this is a clever idea, a little time saver. I'm gonna lever this flap over the top of this one without touching any of this. I'll just leave this locked in as it is. And man, you really discover how strong a cardboard box is when you try and pull that stunt. It is strong. Your arm resting with it. Maybe you pull too hard. You rip the side of the box. The parcel tape's looking down at you like, well, well, well. Look who came crawling back. Shut up, you stupid parcel tape, and suck it forever. My favourite mathematician, that guy. It's a privilege of mine to be doing a gig tonight of all nights, because today is his birthday. And I know that because my favourite website told me so this morning. I was very excited when I got up and I saw this. Finally, credit where it is due. In the end, I just decided to do a normal like comedy podcast where they just sit around talking to each other. That's what most podcasts are. And I'm doing that all day long anyway, with the drug dealers just sitting around talking. Like, plus, I'm already recording it. Wearing the wire, man. I had to make sure that I steered the topic of conversation towards more podcast-friendly subjects, you know? Like, ask some fun hypothetical questions and stuff like that. Then all I had to do was write a funky, cool theme tune. I downloaded a bunch of funny noises off the internet I could put in post, little sound effects and stuff. Got a hit podcast on my hands. And I'm going to play it to you now. It's my comedy podcast. It's me and the drug dealers just sitting around shooting the breeze. Fair warning, they don't know that they're being recorded, obviously. Also, the podcast did come in a little bit early, but I filled the time by putting what is indisputably the best song in the world at the end, so it's absolutely fine. So it's my comedy podcast. It's called The Wire.
Ted's dead. He was the rat, James.
No, he wasn't. What? I shouldn't have said that. Hold my hands up, that was unprofessional. Captain did not like that. Next morning, called me into his office. Springleaf! Please tell me that's not your voice. Claiming that somebody else is not the rat. And why are your wire recordings available for public download? It's called a podcast, Gran. I get with the times. I can't hold your hand every day. Speaking of which, back to it.
Stop messing around. We've got some serious business to discuss.
Too late. Listen up, fellas.
If you could be half animal, half human, which animal would you be and which half would you choose?
Oh, animal schmanimal.
End of that game, what's the point? Excuse me for trying to make the meetings more fun. Another thing that they do in comedy podcasts, a lot of the time, they make fun of each other, because everyone loves that. You know, it's kind of like bullying. Remember how funny that was in school? So... Huey doesn't like being called a caveman, so I thought, let the ribbon commence.
Now, this shipment comes in on Friday. That's only 5 more sleeps. If the police find out, then we're all going down for a long, long time.
Did you understand that, Huey, you bloody caveman? I've had enough of this! Call me a caveman again, you wanker! Put your gun away, Huey! Stop, marry, avoid. Hear me, please. Shut up!
It kicks off within a shout out, say your prayers.
Say your prayers, man.
Oh,
you better say your prayers.
Silence! I would probably be half flamingo, but I'm not fussed about which half.
Hands down, the worst answer I've ever heard to that question.
James, stop name calling. Understood?
No problem.
Sorry, not flamingo, pelican. I'd like to be half a pelican.
That's worse than flamingo, you fuckwit.
What's your turn, Mr. Mason?
What's your turn?
I've had it.
Say your prayers, Mr. Mason. Say your prayers. Say your prayers, man. Say your prayers. Start saying your prayers if I was you. Start, 5 seconds to say your prayers. Say your prayers and make it loud up to the head. Bow your head, then pray. Divided a prayer movement, you can say your prayers.
Recorded that during a rough patch. It was a bad man, actually. When she'd left me, the case was falling apart. Captain was acting like a grade A jerk. I had a bit of a wobble. That's normal, right? Isn't it? Having a wobble? It's pretty normal. I remember it was National Fondue Day again. A year to the day. I woke up, I knew it was going to be a bad day. My electric toothbrush died in my mouth that morning. Not a good omen, is it? Very few good days start with something dying in your mouth. As a rule. It was early in the morning, but already I had a can of Dr. Pepper in one hand. And I'd like to say a cup of punch in the other. It was a rough day. I was going ladle to mouth. A pot of bread sauce bubbling away on the stove. I wanted to try reverse fondue. You know when you dip solid cheese in a liquid bread? I don't know what I was thinking. I was tipsy as hell. I was blind tipsy. I got in my car and I just drove. I didn't even know where I was going to go. I thought I might go to the seaside and cheer myself up by having a go on, you know those pictures you put your head in? It's never everyone who knows what I mean when I say pictures you put your head in. It's very hard to get it across, actually, what I mean when I say that. I mean, they've been around forever. They predate all of you, pictures you put your head in. You've all seen them. You've all, actually, I'm going to say you've all put your head in a picture you put your head in. I'm pretty sure I'm on solid ground to say that, but no one knows what I'm talking about when I say picture you put your head in, because even though they've been around forever, no one's named them yet. Why has no one named them yet? There's no official name for them. I just come up with pictures you put your head in myself. I brainstormed that on a train. That's not a real official thing. It's because no one ever talks about them. Admit it, this is the longest you've ever heard anyone talk about pictures you put your head in. So taboo, this section of the show. Pictures you put your head in. No, I feel like you still don't know what I'm talking about. They're invented in the olden times by an artist who couldn't do faces. Does that help anyone? Pictures you put your head in? They're the opposite of masks. Does that help anyone at all? The opposite of masks. Drive to the seaside on your own is the loneliest drive you'll ever do in your life. You wouldn't have your friends and family in the car for that drive. And you get to the point in the journey we can see the sea for the first time. Get to announce it to the rest of the car. You point at it strong and true and say in a clear voice, I can see the sea! Everyone's like, yeah. That is the sea. There's a few false alarms early in the journey. We got overexcited by the sky, but that is the sea this time. It's easy when you're seeing it side by side, isn't it? It's easier. When you're on your own, you look out the window and the sea just looks back at you like, who's going to believe you, mate? Gutting, I love saying I can see the sea. There's very few opportunities you get to say it. You can say it when you can see the sea. Maybe during an eye test. Just walking up and down the pier, trying to find a decent picture you put your head in that I could put my head in. Most of them were in use, fair play, popular product. There was one that was free. It was a little kiddies one. Head hole's still the same size as for adults. You read into that what you will. It was a double header, a picture you put your heads in. It was an old English bobby. He was catching a burglar, like a striped jumper and a swag bag. As I went to put my head in... I'm looking at the cop and the robber. I didn't know where to put my head. I've been undercover so long. I don't know who I am anymore. I know that no one knows who they are. None of you lot know who you are, do you? That's why we have to go out and buy mugs and fridge magnets that have our Christian names written on them in calligraphy, and then, like, a paragraph underneath about how wonderful everybody with that first name is. You're kind and sharing. Greeting the dawn of each new day for a heart full of optimism and eyes brimming with hope. You're never untrue, and those lucky enough to know you know they're fortunate to have such a loyal and selfless friend. Apparently that describes Bob Marley, Bob Hoskins, and Robert Mugabe. One of those gentlemen swerved quite the bullet there. When she kicked me out, she said, I love you, but I don't feel like I know you. And that's also how I feel about Dr. Pepper. So I put my head in the policeman's head hole. I thought about what she'd said and I thought about her and I realised I do not know who I was anymore. I don't know who she is either. That's messed up. She's my wife. I should know who she is, right? You ever get like that? You ever wake up in the night, you look at your partner asleep next to you, you study their face as they sleep and think, who are you? Well, I don't even know you. How'd you get in here? When I first met her, she was perfect. I was at a party with my friend Daryl. She walked in, I was like, Daryl, you see that woman? I'm gonna marry that woman. 6 months later, we were married. Which is the only time that's ever paid off for me. I used to say that a lot. It's perfect. I opened up a letter in my life. So years went by, I dropped my guard more and more. Then as soon as my guard was all the way down, she changed, overnight. Undercover copped me. I didn't like how it felt to be undercover copped. There's a point in every single undercover cop case, you watch the target get suspicious. They go crazy, they get paranoid, reading too much into every detail of every day. I got anxious, needy and insecure. And you might be thinking, oh, just be yourself, mate. Be yourself in a relationship. What if they don't like you, man? What if every relationship you've ever been in is just somebody slowly figuring out they didn't like you as much as they hoped they would? One day I'll have the guts to end the show there. Just that line and in a blackout, and don't even bring the lights up, you've got to find your way out in the dark. Without wiggling around in your head. Oh, I hope it's okay. As I knelt there, I realised. If you got your head in a children's picture you put your head in for two, you're an adult, you're on your own, and yeah, you're crying. It looks really peculiar if no one's taking your photograph. In the end, I just put my arm through the burglar's face hole and took a selfie. Needed a bother. Turns out if you are crying on your own in a picture you put your head in, strangers will stop to take photos. It's the lowest point of my life. I felt pathetic. Look at me. I'm an undercover cop pretending to be a stand-up comedian. Anything lamer than that would be a stand-up comedian pretending to be an undercover cop. Imagine that loser. Imagine him going on stage night after night, claiming to a room full of people that he's something that he's clearly not. Not just for one joke, by the way, for a whole show. At least I'm not that guy, going on stage night after night, using the whole undercover cop thing as a way of talking about his own personal problems he's been having this year. And he thinks he's being all smart, disguising it in the subtext. But there's this bit right at the end of the show where it becomes painfully obvious what's happened to him this year. And when that happened to him, he did what most people would do. He started questioning himself. Is it me, overanalyzing who he was? Worried that he spends most of his time pretending to be someone that he's not. All over a woman who, at the end of the day, just didn't understand him. And yeah, it is quite petty to dwell on an offhand remark made by a Pret & Manger employee. Just because he doesn't know. He might not know who he is, but he knows what he's too good for. Obviously, who cares? It doesn't matter what she thinks. It's about accepting yourself at the end of the day. You focus on her because it's easier. Thanks for coming. Been a pleasure to talk to you all. See you another time. My name. James Acaster. Death comes to us all.